rebellion against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And coming to you live from our top secret manufacturing facility near Medellin, Colombia, this is Pastor Mike, and I'm online and live with you today, the talk show that gives hell diarrhea. Good to be with you today. Glad to be not sick any longer. Praise the Lord for that. Appreciate everybody's prayers and so on. But man, I was eat up over the weekend and still tried to get stuff done. But anyway, praise the Lord. Good to be with you today. I'm going to start out with something that I just was. I'm going through different PowerPoints and looking at old notes and things like that. And I'm doing a series of Watchmen video broadcasts for you all out there and for Southwest Radio. And let me see if I can find that ad. Where did I put you? Oh, I know. There it is. Let me put this up on the screen for you. And boy, they did a good job with their artwork. Anyway, this is the Mysteries of the Bible Verse, Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. We're going to talk about things that only Christians should believe in. Giants, dragons, unicorns, demons, devils, secret societies, you name it. I like the phrase they put on there, the topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Unless I was your Sunday school teacher. And I talked about it. So I will be speaking on Friday, I don't know the time yet, and Saturday. And, let's see here. I'm gonna post with, when I post this to YouTube and Sermon Audio, I will post a link to the registration. If you want to register for this ahead of time and show up, I'd love to meet you. I'd love to see you. Some of the folks that we know that are living in that area, and then maybe some that we've never met before. We'd love to see you. I had some people in here last week, and it was just good to see them. And we always enjoy having visitors come by here. But come by if you're in the area, in the Cincinnati, Ohio. And I don't know why they call it Cincinnati, because it's going to be in Kentucky. And it's going to be at the Airport Marriott Hotel. So let's see here. MarginalMysteries.com is where you can register. You can take your phone and take a capture of that QR code. That's right. You see it. You see it right there. And then we'll be together then. All right. Now, you're not looking at a picture of Jesus. I want to stress that. You are not, while I talk, I want to get my sound effects ready. You are not looking at a picture of Jesus Christ. And you're not looking at, well, maybe you are, a nun. But I'm telling you 100%, that's not Jesus. It's no way, no how is that Jesus. How do I know? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm really 100% guaranteed that when Jesus returns, let's see. Yeah, there we go. I don't want to join a hotspot. Anyway, there they are right there. All right, good deal. But anyway, when Jesus comes, he's going to appear in the clouds. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it doesn't include nuns in a nunnery. How many Catholics are going to be in heaven? Nuns. Ha! There it is. There we go. I brought this up last night during Wednesday night Bible study, and I didn't have the graphics, but I wanted to show you this, and I wanted to show you the level of bondage, the level of mutilation that the Catholic Church has done to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot add works to faith. You can't do it. Works come as a result of faith, but you cannot add faith or works to your salvation. You cannot say, Jesus died for part of my sins, but I must suffer, I must give money, I must pay for the rest of my sins myself, and I know this is true because my priest told me so. That is the Catholic answer. My priest said so, therefore, I know I'm right. They don't consult Scripture because, and they're told not to consult Scripture. Because if they consult now, they don't have a problem with you reading it every now and then. But they don't really encourage you to think on your own. And I view Bible reading the same way I view the Second Amendment to our Constitution. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right of the lay people, the people sitting in the pews, in the chairs, in the congregation, the people there, they have as much right to read that Bible and think on these things as I or anybody else does. I mean, after all, when you get attacked by a wolf, a lion, a serpent, any of these other creatures in the Bible, when you get attacked, you're going to need instant ammunition. You're going to need something that's with you day in and day out. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. He didn't say, thy word is in the Catholic Church and they'll read to me what they want me to know. And so it does. It angers me. I am a zealot for grace because I'm here to tell you, I'm not sitting in this chair without it. And it's not me being stubborn. I can't. I cannot sit here. I cannot stand behind a pulpit. I cannot do what I do without grace. I can't do it. Nobody else can either. Only Christ qualifies. I watched a couple of YouTube videos. I'll explain this in a minute. I watched a couple of YouTube videos this morning. A man who is a Jewish person, grew up as a believing Jew, practicing Jew, was bar mitzvahed. He bar mitzvahed his son. And he speaks Hebrew like the Jews, and he's in Jerusalem. And I like what he's doing. He's asking Jews that are going to and fro there at the Wailing Wall to just talk about Jesus. And he says, I'm a Jew. And, you know, he speaks some Hebrew for them, so they know he's them. And And then, you know, he says, but, you know, 5 years ago, I had a supernatural experience, and I believe that Jesus is Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Jesse, Yaakov, Jacob. And then he says, tell me how I'm wrong. And he says, don't be afraid of insulting me. Don't be afraid of calling me whatever you want to call me. I just want a dialogue here. And he gets him in a dialogue. And I can tell you, the way I could hear some of these younger men that he was talking to, they are indoctrinated in and inoculated at a young age and told, you do not know how to read the Bible. You do not know how to read the law. You don't know how to read Torah, they call it. You don't know how to read that. You don't know how to understand it. If you want understanding, if you're going to read Isaiah, if you're going to read Hosea, if you're going to read Joel, if you're going to read those things, you go to a rabbi and let a rabbi tell you what it means. And they've got them locked in for the rest of their life unless Christ breaks through. It literally will take that, because they automatically have been told from the youngest age, you do not have a right to read and understand the Bible on your own. They do not want Gentiles, Goyim, they do not want us Gentiles messing with Judaism. They do not want us converting Jews to Christ. And the whole point of it is, guess what race Jesus, God, chose to come down to earth as? A Jew. A Judah Jew. Okay? And it's just interesting that those people have been inoculated against believing in Jesus. And they just, as soon as you start talking about it, they'll say, you know, if I want to know what Isaiah says, I go to the rabbi. The rabbi tells me what it is. And Jesus, he had a problem with them rabbis, and he let them have it. Now, it's the same way in the Catholic Church. You have this priesthood. What did I call it one time? I can't remember. Anyway, you have this priesthood here, just like in Judaism, that inoculates everybody against reading the Bible and thinking on your own. You're not supposed to do that. Why do you think Catholic churches have schools? And why do the faithful Catholics send their kids to Catholic schools? It's because they will train them and indoctrinate them in Catholicism, tell them that by doing penance and all these things that they tell people to do, that they must do, and still, when they die, they're not going to have any assurance of going to heaven for who knows how long, and that's where they start hitting everybody up for money after you die. It's a scheme, it's a racket, and so that's why it's done. You have this priesthood that is holding power over everybody, and they're the gatekeepers of doctrine. You believe only what we tell you to believe. And they say, if you leave our church, you are never, ever going to be admitted into heaven. That's the kind of stuff David Koresh told the Branch Davidians in Waco, 1993. If you leave here, and the FBI was begging, Gary Reznor, Netflix did a series on the Branch Davidian compound. I thought it was done fairly well. They left some things out, but anyway, they showed that Koresh was at fault in this way, and the FBI was at fault in this way. Gary Reznor was the FBI crisis negotiator, and he was pleading with the Branch Davidians, come out, just come out. We can settle everything once you come out. We promise we're not going to shoot. And David Koresh is telling him, listen, if you go out there, you leave this, you're leaving your glory. You're not going to get this blessing that I've been talking about all this time. And it, basically that he's the Messiah. And so that's what they're doing. They're all practicing to be little Christs, these priests in the priesthood, whether it's Judaism, whether it's Catholicism, any other religion. If they put themselves up as the gatekeeper, only those who are approved by the church can go in. And I don't see in the Bible where any of us are holding the keys to eternal life, except one. And his name is not Father Bill. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. Anyway, let me show you what this painting is here. This is from Wikipedia. In February 1931, in Plock, which is Poland, Faustina Kowalska. That's Polish enough, isn't it? Had a vision of Jesus, who tasked her with spreading the devotion to his divine mercy. Now, they're not saying tasked her with spreading the gospel. Tasked her with spreading the devotion to his divine mercy. Kowalska reported a number of apparitions. And all of this has to do with what Saul saw on that day at Endor with the woman who had a familiar spirit, and up from the ground rose up a familiar spirit. The Bible says it in no uncertain terms. Well, I will allow for a little uncertainty. And still some people say that was Samuel, but it just, I'm telling you, it can't be. It's not possible. So anyway, here's this fake Samuel. I looked in for some reason, I saw the Greek word for false prophet, pseudo-prophetes, pseudo-prophet. It literally means false prophet, fake. Here's a fake Samuel standing there, not the real Samuel, a fake one. And this fake Samuel, you know, gives this prophecy to Saul. And he fell for it. He lost his life. The Bible specifically says that he died for rejecting the word of the Lord. And I think it was in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And then later on, for seeking after one who had a familiar spirit and inquiring of it. Inquiring of the familiar spirit. So the Bible just told you that was a familiar spirit standing there. And what that is, this is a foreshadowing. This is a prophecy of an end time fake Jesus. Another Jesus. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, another gospel, same place. Any other gospel in Galatians, another gospel in Galatians, any other gospel in Galatians. Four times the Bible warns you about a different gospel brought by a different Jesus, which when accepted brings a different spirit, another spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. So it can only be her spirit. Who is her? Mystery Babylon. Anyway, let's read this. She reported a number of apparitions. So this would be a fake Jesus. This would be a false spirit, a familiar spirit looking like Jesus. During religious ecstasy, which she described in her 1934 through 38 diary, later published as the book, Diary, Divine Mercy in My Soul. The two main themes of the devotion are to trust in Christ's endless goodness and to show mercy to others, acting as a conduit for God's love toward them. In her diary, Kowalska wrote that Jesus told her, now here we go, I demand from you deeds of mercy. Works. I demand works, which are to arise out of love for me. Slap, 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 slap. And that he explained that there are three ways of exercising mercy toward your neighbor. The first, by deed. The second, by word. The third, by prayer. Kowalska's diarrhea contained also a litany of divine mercy. And on and on and on. But it's about this apparition, this painting. Look upon this image. And this is Jesus' divine. Well, look at it. I mean, look at the stuff coming out of his chest cavity. And it looks like divine mercy to me. If I were to see divine mercy, that's what it would look like coming out of somebody's chest cavity. This rays of something. Don't give them the gospel. Don't let them read scripture. Don't give them John 3:16. Don't give them Romans 10:9-10. 1 John 1:9. Forget that. Ephesians 2:8-9. Oh, we can't give them Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest nuns should boast. And that's her. She says that Jesus told her, I demand from you deeds of mercy, and you better love me. I mean, it does. It sounds like a guy in the mafia, a shakedown guy, comes up and grabs your collar, smacks you on the face a couple times, said, listen here, buddy, I'm going to break both of your arms. You don't pay up next week. That's the Catholic Church. That's who they are. At the heart, at the core of the Catholic Church, that's what it is. It's what their doctrine is. There's no love there. There's no love. There is, we want money and we want power. And the world is full of religious people who want money and want power. Full of it. I don't care what religion it is. It's full of it. Now, here's another one. And yes, that is The Flying Nun. You remember that show? I think that was so cool. Look at that. That nun can fly. I didn't know what a nun was. Now, this makes me mad. Catherine. A novice, which means a new convert to the convent, the nunnery. She's come in. She's got like this period to go through where she's trained in the ways of starving herself to death, beating herself with a scourge. Using a chalice, I think I'm pronouncing that right or wrong, but it's this chain with barbs and prickly things on it, and you tighten it around your leg, and it sends extreme pain to your brain. Blood comes out, dripping down your leg, and you're supposed to be mortifying your body so that you no longer have evil thoughts. Martin Luther, he did that for years. And that's what made him so angry, was that he beat himself with a flagellum. He probably had that chain around his leg, tightening it. Every time he's had an evil thought, he's a cloistered monk, meaning that he's locked inside this monastery, has little or no contact with the outside world, certainly no contact with females, and he's in there, and he cannot make his fleshly desires stop. He can't do it. And he beats himself some more. And he tightens that chain some more. And he starves himself to death. And he just kills his body. And he's reading Romans about the grace of God. And he gets even angrier. At who? At God. Saying, God, that's not fair. How can you order me to have righteousness in my life, the righteousness of Christ in me? How can you order me to have that? I am beating myself. I am flagellating myself. I am bleeding. I am in pain. I am starving to death. And still, I cannot attain to the righteousness of God. I cannot attain to it. Then the Holy Spirit showed up. You can't discern it without the Holy Spirit. The Bible's playing on that. It's the Spirit that teaches us spiritual things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So the Holy Spirit showed up one day and said, Marty, it's not the righteousness that you try to attain to. It's the righteousness that Christ covers you with freely. Instant euphoria. Instant. I would be weeping into exhaustion. I would be weeping. Having that epiphany, having that revelation. And then going back to scriptures again and then reading Romans again about the righteousness of God. But now you're seeing it with new eyes. You're seeing it for the way it really is. That it is a gift granted to you because of God's never-ending love. And it's a free gift. And he already had it. He just didn't know it. Okay? So then he goes on this, you know, rampage. Here's 98 things I got a problem with all you bishops and cardinals. And they care for him. Anyway, she's a novice at the Daughters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul. Reported that Mary appeared to her one night. Now, here's the question. Did Mary appear to her? And the answer is automatically no. And it's the same question of, did Samuel appear to Saul? And the answer is no. God had already said, I'm not speaking to you by prophet, by dream, by Urim. I'm not doing it. I'm done with you, Saul. And right after that, he goes out, gets a woman with a familiar spirit. She raises one up. He thinks it's Samuel. He perceived that it was Samuel. He thinks Samuel's talking to him. I mean, it's similar to the prophets of Ahab, who all have a lying spirit in them, and they're all saying the same thing to Ahab and to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Yeah, you go to war tomorrow, you're going to be back in time for dinner, we'll have biscuits and gravy, and it'll be great. We'll have fried chicken and fried okra. Oh, I love fried okra. And you'll have all that stuff. Yeah, just be home by dinner, and it'll be okay. And he believed it. And he said, see, my preachers tell me what I want to hear. What that Micaiah guy, I don't like him. He don't tell me what I want to hear. He used that old King James. I don't like him. Micaiah says, well, let me tell you what I said, what I saw. I saw God, and he's asking who will go and convince Ahab. And one spirit said, I will. And the Lord said, wherewith? And he said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets of Ahab. God said, go to it. You got the job. And it's not the first time. It's not the first time and the only time that God ever used a lying spirit or a false prophet to prove somebody. I was looking at that story again. I think it's in the book of Judges. But anyway, this young prophet was sent to the king to tell him the bad news. And he goes and God tells him, now when you get into town, go to the king, tell him what I told you to tell, turn around and leave town. Do not stay in town. Do not eat bread in town. Do not drink water in town. I want you to leave. So the prophet goes and he tells the king this message and he turns around, gets on his donkey, starts riding out of town, clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop. And all of a sudden now, because he remembers, I'm not supposed to eat or drink here, not supposed to stay here. So he's heading out of town. An elder prophet heard that this young prophet was in town. God put it on his heart. So he goes in as the guy, as the young prophet is leaving town. He goes out and he hails him and he says, hey, young prophet, I am a prophet of the Lord as well. And this is what it says. An angel of the Lord gave me a word of the Lord for you. And that is to come to my house and stay and eat bread and I'll give you something to drink. So the young prophet does it. The lesson here is, who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the word of God, or are we going to believe an angel over the word of God? I'm telling you, angels do not trump the word of the Lord. Never. Never, 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 ever. And so that's what he tells him. So the young prophet goes to his house. The old prophet has bread brought and he gives him bread, pours him out some water. Here, take a drink of this. Boy, we got a fresh spring out here. Boy, that water's cool, isn't it? Mm-mm-mm. Boy, you can taste the minerals in it. Well, that's sweet water, we call it around here. And he says, yeah, let's just kind of lay back there for a minute. And he kind of lays back a little bit. And the old prophet says, now, here's the bad news. You're not going to sleep with your fathers when you die. You went against the direct word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to you and told you in no uncertain terms, you're not to stay in town, you're not to eat bread, and you're not to drink water in town. I lied to you. And because you chose the lie over the truth, you're going to die and you're not going to be buried with your fathers. So the old prophet helps the young prophet saddle the donkey. He gets on the donkey. As he's heading out of town, a lion is there. Think of who that lion is. And that lion grabbed that young prophet off that donkey and killed him, ripped him apart, killed him right there. And then the lion did something that lions don't do. Because when the old prophet heard what had happened, he ran down there. And he sees the donkey standing there, the prophet dead, ripped apart, and the lion just laying there, licking the blood off his lips. Lions don't do that. Lions do not miss out on an opportunity to drink blood. I can tell you that. But that was the plan of God. And it's a lesson to all of us. We believe the word of God first, not angels, not apparitions, the modus operandi of practically all of the Trinity Broadcasting Network and Sky Angel Network, and I don't know if that's still on, but all of these religious shows on TV, these millionaires that are talking to you, their biggest method of operation is to tell you that God showed them something that's not in the scriptures, that God revealed something to them, or they heard an angel visited them, or Christ visited them. They make this stuff up, or they're really visited by a familiar spirit, but they're lying through their teeth. And all you need to do is read the Bible to find out that they're lying. Nobody wants to do that anymore. Everybody wants the sensational TV show preacher. That's what they want. Anyway, look at this. Mary appeared to her one night in the convent chapel and asked that a specific medallion be made, promising that, quote, all who wear this medal will receive great graces. The medal eventually produced is most commonly known as the miraculous medal due to the many miracles that were connected with it. Oh, well, it must be real because there were miracles that were done with it. People were healed. I don't care. God, Jesus himself, God said, a wicked and adulterous generation always seeketh after a sign. They're looking for miracles. Well, you put this medal on and you'll be healed of your disease. And read this. The front of the medal displays a picture of Mary as Catherine described her. The design on the reverse includes the letter M and a cross. I'll just say to you that the letter M is the 13th letter of the alphabet. And it's used quite a bit in the Catholic Church. Pope John Paul, his shield had the letter M on it for Mary. He actually believed that Mary saved his life when that assassin's bullet went into him. Had it gone in just an inch the other way, it would have killed him instantly right there. And he believes that Mary pushed him into the path of the bullet. That's some savior you got there, John Paul II. But anyway, it angers me. If you wear this, you know what this is? This is known as an amulet. This is not new. This is not something that, who is this gal? Saint Catherine. I don't know how long ago it was. But this is not some new thing that's out there. This goes back thousands of years. An amulet, also known as a good luck charm or phylactery. What do the Jews wear at the Wailing Wall? They wear the phylactery, this little box on their forehead with a little piece of scripture in it. And then they have a ribbon of leather bound around their hand with scripture on it, because Deuteronomy 6, bind them for a sign upon thy hand and thy forehead. So anyway, that comes from the Latin word amuletum. It's an object believed to confer protection upon its possessor. Pliny's Natural History describes as an object that protects a person from trouble. Anything can function as an amulet. Items commonly so used include statues, coins, drawings, plant parts, animal parts, written words. And I guarantee you, I've never been to the Vatican, but I guarantee you, 100% guarantee you, that the closer you get to the Vatican, there are shops and there are kiosks all over Rome, surrounding St. Peter's Basilica, selling trinkets, selling things that the people are told, if you wear this, you will receive great graces on you. You'll instantly have your sins forgiven of you. And it angers me. But they're hearing from familiar. I don't doubt that this nun saw a spirit. Was it Mary? Mary's dead. Mary's dead. Samuel is dead. The only one that we know is alive is Jesus, and he's at the right hand of the Father. He's not just speaking to one. He's speaking to all and interceding on our behalf to his Father. That's how we get our prayers answered, people, through Jesus Christ alone. Now, oh yeah. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead? In other words, should living people seek after dead people for help? Mark 12, 27, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Therefore do greatly err. That means you're totally wrong in seeking after the dead. And the Catholic Church is full of dead saints. They are what Jesus said in Matthew 23. They are whited sepulchers that are full of dead men's bones. Now I'm going to show you a man that was trained by nuns, taught by nuns, had things revealed to him by nuns, and carried certain parts of the doctrine of nuns, thus the doctrines of devils, into his current ministry. Benny Hindu, who said it was Catherine Kuhlman who took me, who introduced me to the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not referring to Catherine Kuhlman alive. He's referring to Catherine Kuhlman dead. He says, I don't know if he believes it or not, but he says that he went to visit Catherine Kuhlman's grave and met her spirit there. One of the strangest experiences I had, and he's talking about Amy Simple McPherson, who was one of these, she was one of the early startups of the New Apostolic Reformation, the Pentecostal movement, tongues, slain in the spirit, your salvation linked to your physical health. If you're saved, you should be healed of all diseases. If you have diseases and actually die of one, you're going to hell because you just gave Satan control of your body because you didn't have enough faith to get rid of your disease. Amy Simple McPherson died of disease. So did, can't remember his name now, but he was like the father of the modern Pentecostal movement. And he wrote commentaries on the Bible. He wrote a book, and he said that God downloaded. That's a New Age term. That's a UFO term. He says that God downloaded most of the Bible into his brain. He could quote most of the Bible just like that. I have no doubt that he may have had that. Jim Staley, the Hebrew Roots con artist, says that that's what happened with him, is that he got one day in a vision an instant download of the book of Romans and a complete interpretation of what it really means. And it basically, according to him, says you have to go back and keep the law. But anyway, Amy Simple McPherson. Lord help me, who was this guy? I can't remember his name. I can see his face. He died. He said it in no uncertain terms that if you are a born-again Christian, you should die as Moses. Moses died at 120 with his full life force in him. The Bible says that. And he said, all Christians should die that way. If you give Satan power over your body and he puts disease on you, that's a sure sign that you don't have enough faith to save you. Well, he didn't die at 120. He didn't die the way Moses did. He died of Parkinson's disease. Takes a long time to kill a man with Parkinson's disease. My former pastor here, Preacher Goff, he died of Parkinson's. It was a bad time for him. I miss him. I wish I could see him again, but I know where he is. But I'm telling you, it takes a long time for a man. I mean, it's not like he got killed in a car wreck. Lord, help me remember his name. Let me read this. I had a few years ago was visiting Amy Simple McPherson's tomb in California. This Thursday, I'm on TBN. Friday, I'm going to go and visit Catherine Kuhlman's tomb. It's close by Amy's in Forest Lawn Cemetery. I've been there once already, and every so often, I like to go and pay my respects because this great woman of God has touched my life. Now, you remember, these two ladies are dead. I felt a terrific anointing when I was there. I trembled when I visited Amy's tomb. I was shaking all over. God's power came all over me. I believe the anointing has lingered over Amy's body. People, that is necromancy. That is one of the nine things that God, I'm pretty sure, said, don't do it. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 18. Yeah, there we go. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through fire. That's the Redding, California Bethel Church, where they have a fire tunnel and you're supposed to pass through it. Are you kidding me? The very first thing God said, don't do, they institute as a practice in their church, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. You're seeking after the dead to give you power. The Jewish rabbis do this. They've been doing it for hundreds of years. They go and visit some wise sage, a Jewish rabbi who they believe had clear understanding of Moses and the law and the interpretation of the Old Testament. Let me explain that for just a second. Jewish understanding of interpretation, there's like four levels. I don't know if I can remember all four of them. The first one is just the plain reading of the text. You just pick up, you open the Torah, and you start reading it, and you say, okay, I understand the sentence. I understand the writing there. I can't remember the second and third one, but the fourth one was different, as is usual. The fourth level of interpretation basically said that you look between the lines for meaning. They call it the white fire, the blank paper that exists between where the ink is on the paper. That the ink is the black fire, the paper is the white fire. And they say that there's more understanding and more wisdom in the white fire than there is the black fire. What does the white fire say? There, I just read a verse of white fire. It doesn't say anything, does it? And there's this, that's a mystery religion. It's basically whatever comes to you, whatever the Spirit brings to you at that time, while you're meditating on this real estate on the paper of nothing written there, while you think on that, God's telling us, think on these things. You know, these words here. One of the Jews that this guy interviewed basically said that. He said, you don't get interpretation from the words. You get them from between the lines. He had been taught that by a rabbi. But these rabbis go to the grave sites of these Jewish sages who meditated on the white fire, and they believed that they can pull from them their anointing, their spirit, or whatever, their wisdom, when they go to their grave. It's grave sucking. It's necromancy, like Bill Johnson's doing at the Bethel Church in Redding, California. He said, I'm going to take David Palmquist and Kent Maddox and Cheryl Palmquist this week. They're going to come with me. You're going to feel the anointing at Amy's tomb. It's incredible. And Catherine's, it's amazing. I've heard of people healed when they visited that tomb. I'd rather die of the disease than to seek healing from the dead. It's amazing. They were totally healed by God's power. And you say, what a crazy thing. Brother, there's things we'll never understand. Are you all hearing me? Now, that's what it sounds like when a preacher's preaching without a Bible. That's what it sounds like. Sounds like nothing. They bring all this stuff to you, and it's experience. What was it that we read? She was in a religious ecstasy. The best way to explain that would be in our reference would be like slain in the spirit and then maybe having holy laughter. And essentially, this nun, I mean, I haven't read her diary, but I know a little bit about what she would have had to do to get into this religious ecstasy. She basically, through mystic meditation, mind-emptying meditation, which basically is Zen Buddhism, Jainism, Hinduism, all rolled up together in a nice little egg roll, and a spirit entered into her and gave her this feeling. Literally, a feeling, a very powerful love feeling. You get what I'm saying? I was going through some notes again today, and some of the people who claim to have had contact with UFOs and the beings, the entities that are associated with them, that oftentimes they would touch their forehead, and they would feel an instant, overpowering ecstasy of love coming from this being. And one guy said, that's how I know it's real. And I know it's true because of how powerful it felt to me. People, I've said this before. I battle sometimes with my emotions. I've been dealing with some of it this week. And I've learned not to trust my emotions. Good or bad? Now, I'm not saying it's bad to have them. We are emotional beings. God gave us that. It's a gift. If it's right and righteous and in accordance with God's word. But the devil can bring momentary. Peter or John? It was in the book of Hebrews. And it was talking about how Moses forsook. Moses. By the way, I mentioned this last night. There is a new feature to the Pure Bible. Yeah, Moses. I like this. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There, that's how it said. He chose to suffer the same hardships that the Israelites did in the wilderness. And he had it worse because he was the leader. Everything fell on his shoulders. And he had it bad. For 40 years, he had it bad. He had a bad life. Okay? But he chose that rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The devil can give momentary, seasonal pleasure to us in our bodies. We'll feel it with our sensations. That's called the lust of the flesh. That's what that is. But anyway, Donna added a feature, and I understand just like barely enough of it. But if you, it's a phrase search. If you type in blood, it'll give you a readout of all the phrases in the Bible that include the word blood in it. And I got an email from her today saying that was just the surface of it. And I'll try to look into it more if I get time. But if you want to make it available, I think you would just go to Pure Bible Search. Go to purebiblesearch.com and get the updated version of it. And again, as always, free of charge. And that's the way I like it. All right, now, let's go back here to the dead people. Benny Hinn said this. I was in prayer one day, and a man appeared in front of me. He was about 6 feet two, an old man with a white beard. His face was somewhat thin, but very bold, eyes crystal blue. He had on a white garment. On his head was like a shawl. He looked like a priest, but every part of him glistened like crystal. Now this is Benny Hinn. And I spoke out and I said, Lord, who is this man I see? I know you might think I lost my mind, but the Lord said, Elijah the prophet. Do you know that when that happened? That happened days before the anointing on my life doubled. Literally, the ministry's anointing doubled. In other words, the bank account doubled in a week's time. The ministry's anointing doubled after that. Now, to me, what did she say? An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. Saul perceived that it was Samuel. Benny Hinn perceived or was told, this is Elijah the prophet. Do I believe he saw that? Works for me. Do I believe it was Elijah the prophet? Get out of here. It was a spirit. It was a fake Elijah. A false Elijah the prophet that probably told Benny Hinn, sell his soul, turn himself over, or do whatever. And he would give him all of that money. Then he could go and fornicate with Paula White in Rome, be in on the Pope's secret meetings there that he had with charismatic leaders. That's what him and Paula White were doing in Rome. That was, to me, that's the bigger story than them going, walking into a hotel together holding hands. What are they doing in Rome? They're meeting with high-level papal officials on how to unify all of Christianity under the Vatican. That's exactly what was going on. Mystery Babylon, her spirit was there bringing everybody together. And here we have the exact, and did you know what? I've got I think it's in the Watchman that's out now. Let's see who's trying to get in touch with me here. A man saw almost this exact thing, and he was informed that when the spirits enter into our world, they take on the shape of things that we're used to seeing. So this guy described that he saw something that looked like an old man, like an old priest, you know, with a shawl or a hood over his head. And I'm like, that's what it is. That's the same thing Saul saw from his seesaw. Seashells by the seashore. That's the hermit card. That the hermit card is there. The hermit is basically that familiar spirit. He is offering the world a light, but it's a different light than the light of the gospel. It's a different light than the light of Christ. Instead of the Son of God, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, this is a star. Only it's a contrived star. It's a star that has a triangle pointing up and a triangle pointing down merged together. The meaning of it is obvious. It is the joining of heaven and earth together that is the new shining light that will lighten the world into a new age of peace and prosperity and all the marijuana bud that you can have, all the ecstasy pills, all the fentanyl you want, everything that's going to, they've created heaven in Portland, Oregon, haven't they? They have created heaven in Oregon. It's a heavenly, beautiful place now with tents all over town, human feces on the sidewalks everywhere, dirty needles laying all over the place. All the businesses moved out of downtown Portland because nobody wants to go and eat a nice T-bone steak at a very expensive restaurant downtown and then step in human poop on their way out the door and get, you know, felt by dirty old men standing on the street corners. Nobody wants to go and have that experience downtown. So they created heaven by basically legalizing all the drug use. Come down to Portland. You do all the drugs you want to. We won't do anything. We won't say anything. Do what you want to do. We're not going to have any laws over anybody. And they created heaven down there. They sure enough did. Oh, look at this. 7.5 years ago, just before the ministry started, before these crusades began, suddenly in front of me, I saw a group of people. I couldn't even tell you who they were. I recognized only one of them. It was Miss Kuhlman, dead. And every one of them seemed to be urging me to pray. And they were saying to me, pray. Ask God to give you a healing ministry that will touch the world. And suddenly, I heard Catherine's voice out of the blue. Suddenly, there she was. It's crystal clear. And she and her beautiful smile, the way she said, ask. We're waiting for you to ask. We're praying with you to ask. See, I told you. Benny Hindu was trained by nuns. He grew up a Lebanese Catholic, trained by nuns to believe that saints that have died can pray for us. Saints that have parted this world, whose bodies lie in tombs all over the world, are praying for us right now. Or they will pray for us when we wear their medals, or when we adore their image, when we bow before their statues, or whatever nonsense they do. They taught him that the saints who are dead pray for him. And now, he says, Catherine Kuhlman said it. We're praying with you to ask. And the vision disappeared. And suddenly I said, Lord, a week later, the anointing hit my life. I believe the saints in heaven urge us to pray. Urge us to do it. And so many people believe this guy. So many people. I mean, I go to a church, and I'm lucky to get like 20 people there. I'm used to it. And I've told pastors, Pastor, don't sweat it. It doesn't bother me. I understand that maybe I'm not for everybody. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, glass of wine. I'm not everybody's thing. So I'm used to it. Because I know that the multitude is always going to follow the wrong guy. Always. Jesus said it. The Bible declares it. The multitude is always going to follow the wrong guy. There's going to be a lot more people in hell than there is in heaven. That I know. Now, Perry Stone and Fred Stone, and Fred's father was named Flint. I had to throw that in there. Same thing here. His ministry is a real moneymaker for him. And he's pretty protective over it. He does not want you buying his DVDs only so that you can copy them and put the videos on YouTube. Uh-uh. He will have your channel taken down. Because, and his lawyers wrote a letter to all his subscribers of his little prophecy magazine, not warning them not to put Perry Stone's videos on YouTube because it's robbing God. Robbing the ministry of vitally needed funds. You know how to interpret that? We're not making enough money if you're giving away what I'm selling. So it comes as no surprise. But it's shocking to hear it. And, you know, you listen to Fred Stone here, Perry's dad, and, you know, bless his heart, he's an old man. You want to believe him. He says it was such passion, and he just weeps. You know, the intensity is there. But he's literally dead wrong. Literally dead wrong. In fact, I think I'll call that this video dead wrong. Because he had a vision. This is Fred Stone, Perry Stone's father. Fred Stone had a vision of being in a cabin. And the right hand of a man reached through the wall and touched him on the head. People, all of these UFO stories that I've collected, the one that really got my attention to go and research into this was the Betty Andreessen case, where Betty Andreessen, she tells the story of how when she was like 12 years old, she was out playing and she saw this little alien behind a bush, and he pressed a button on his uniform and a little blue glowing orb came and it circled around her head, and then it touched her forehead and she fell backwards slowly to the ground. And she said she could feel something penetrate her brain. She could feel a squiggly thing inside her head is how she described it. And the interesting thing is, if I remember the story right, the quote-unquote aliens, the strangers, the devils, they said among themselves, she's too young right now. She's not ready, meaning she hasn't gone through puberty. For what reason? An obvious reason, a hybridization program. But anyway, when I saw that she got touched by this blue orb and she fell backwards, I'm going, wait a minute. You mean that was a Pentecostal church she was at? No, she was in her backyard. I pulled up a video of, and I can't play it because YouTube will have a conniption, but it was a scene out of E.T., the extraterrestrial, where E.T. is going to leave young Elliot. And Elliot's crying. I mean, he sold himself to get this. I think they had him crying at his audition for this movie. And when they saw that he could cry real good on command, they hired him. So he's sitting there crying because, you know, E.T.'s going to go off. His God that came down from heaven, that fell from heaven. He fell from heaven, people. And before he leaves, he touches Elliot on the head right here with that long finger that lights up at the end of it and says, I'll be right here. Well, that's a very soothing voice, isn't it? But it's a common practice in Hinduism to practice the entrance of the female goddess Shakti. And when you are touched on the forehead by a guru who has the power, you fall backward and you go into an ecstatic experience, Saint Catherine, and you now have illumination. So they paint a third eye on you with a dot called a bindi or a bindu. And the word bindi means spot. But the church is without spot. Amen? Hey, where's my amen corner? We are without spot. So anyway, you see it over and over and over. You know, people saying that they were on a ship and, you know, this, they were poking them stuff in them and, you know, they were in extreme pain and this alien would come touch them on the head and instantly they would feel this ecstatic experience. No more pain at all. And like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And then the alien pulls his hand off and she goes back to screaming again. Ah, it hurts, hurts. Ah, that feels good. And it happens a lot in the UFO ET circle. It happens a lot in the Hindu world. Happens a lot in Pentecostal charismatic Christianity. And I suspect that something is coming down the road that will spot people on their forehead. Anyway, this right hand touched him on the head. It was the spirit man of Al Collins. Fred believes that he went out of his body to the end of the universe and he saw a ball of light and Al stepped out of it. Now, come on. You're telling me that you went almost to the third heaven. You were at the edge of the second heaven. I don't buy it. Not after what you tell me. He said God had sent him to tell Fred that he was called to preach. Stone says that he visited a room in heaven with a large library of books. One of them was called The Mighty Acts and Words of Jesus. What's a good video? And he said there could be millions of other words and sermons of Jesus. He said, I believe that a lot of preachers get inspired today. That God just pulls some of the preaching of Jesus that's not in the books of the New Testament. Are you hearing this, people? And just puts it in their mouth and they say it. Hence, now you have someone to back you up when you say, not everything that God does is in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Fred Stone said that Al Collins said that Jesus said that to him. This is coming directly from Jesus to Al Collins, to Fred Stone, to Perry Stone, to me. Yeah, so I believe it. Not everything that God does is in the Bible. And so some of the things God's doing right now, that's proof of it. It's proof that God's doing it because it's not in the Bible. People, our forefathers in the faith shed blood, lost limb, love, and life for one cause, and that was for the sake of the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ. They were burned at the stake. They were tortured, mercilessly tortured. You think the priests, the monks had it bad. The Anabaptists and others who decided that the written word of God was final authority, not the Pope. They were killed for that. And it was the devil's way of eradicating Bible believers off of this world. But nowadays, priests don't like to get blood on their robes. So they've come to a different way. Let's not kill them. Let's just get them to voluntarily walk away from the Word of God. I bet we can do it. That, I believe, was the real work of 1963, the Second Vatican Council. They brought about some reforms in Catholicism, nothing to get too excited about. Still Catholicism, they still sell indulgences, they still sell masses, they still hold dead relatives for ransom money, tell you that they're in purgatory, you need to give us money to have masses said for them. We are going to have a communion service here in the month of May, and I'm not going to charge anybody for it. Not going to take anybody's money unless they want to give. We do it for free. That's what the Catholic Church doesn't like. They sell masses. They sell them. And I mean thousands of dollars, not you know, $29.95 stuff. Thousands and thousands of dollars. Tens of thousands of dollars. Maybe more. If the church knows the family's got money, they'll hit them up for it. And like I said, our forefathers in the faith, they died. They lost their fortunes. They fled. They had to leave their home in the old world to get on a ship coming to a new world, into a land that was full of what they called savages. That first winter after the Mayflower landed there at Plymouth Rock, over half of the people died. They died of disease. They died of cold. They died of starvation. And God saw them through the next season. God sent them a friend. You know the story, don't you? What was his name? Boy, I can't think of names today. I still can't think of the guy that I was referring to a while ago. I'll look him up one of these days. Anyway, they suffered hardship just for the sake of being able to do what this Bible tells them to do. They said, no bishop is going to tell us what to believe. No church is going to hold power over us. We're going to worship God. We're going to establish, we're going to try something. It may not work, but we're going to ask for God to bless. We're going to try to build a city in the name of God. And let this city be a model of Jerusalem here in this new land. And we hope to build a city wherein lives righteousness, godliness, morality. It's a great concept. It's a great idea. The problem with it is you're building it with human flesh. Human flesh being what it is, the best efforts of the most godly men and women will always suffer because of the flesh that we now abide in. Our only real hope, our only real salvation, is in heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. That's our real hope and our real salvation. I've enjoyed being with you today. I hope you've enjoyed. our little time together. What was I going to call this? Dead Wrong. New Watchmen is out. Take a look at it. It's a couple hours. I just don't know when to shut up. And I got at least another one to go in this series. And then, again, remind you to, let's see here. There's the picture of me. There it is right there. I'll put it up on the screen for you. Go. There's me. Michael Hoggard, Mysteries of the Bibleverse, Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. Go to marginalmysteries.com. Derek Gilbert, I know Michael Hoggard pretty well. I've met Josh Davis. He's a good guy. I like him. Micah Van Hus. They both work for Southwest Radio. And these guys are we probably would disagree on one thing or another. But, hey, God's our judge. Amen. All right, I love you. You know what I'm going to say now, don't you?